saw a bright light shining in the darkness of night. And for many days they followed the star's gleam and glisten to come in worship at the feet of the newborn king. Life was in this newborn king, and that life was the light of men, and that light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. As darkness set off to persecute men and women of light, a light shone all around the darkness, brighter than the sun at midday. And darkness fell to the ground, hearing a voice saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" In this moment, the blind eyes of one man were opened by the truth from the light, and he sent him out to open the eyes of the multitudes to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God, proclaiming to all that Jesus is the light of the world, and everyone who believes in him will not remain in darkness. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son to become the light of the world so that none would perish but have everlasting life. Amen, right? What you just heard was some key moments of light shining through and breaking through the darkness in Scripture. It's the beginning of creation in Genesis. It's the beginning of Jesus' life as recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke and John. It's the beginning of the church reaching the multitudes in Acts 26 through the life of Paul. In the beginning of creation, there was light shining in the darkness. In the beginning of Jesus' life, there was light shining in the darkness. In the beginning of Paul's new life in Jesus, there was light. And it was shining in the darkness. Light separates darkness. Light shines in the darkness. Light causes the darkness to flee, and light shines through and bursts through darkness to bring new life. Every new beginning starts with the light of Jesus. And he is so amazing that we get to be here today to celebrate that. So good morning and welcome to Christmas at Kairos. Today we are concluding our wayfinding series. If it's your first time joining us, what we've been doing in this series is we've been traveling and journeying alongside the Apostle Paul and looking at his life and what God did in him and through him. Now, as I dwelled on Christmas and connecting Paul's story and what took place in the stories of Christmas, I was drawn to the light. To the light that Paul encountered on that fateful day on the road to Damascus that changed his life forever. I was drawn to the light, and I saw that there was this connection to the light at the beginning of creation, to the bright light for the shepherds that showed up to them in the fields to announce the birth of the Messiah, to the light that shined in the night sky that guided and directed the wise men to the newborn king. You know this, I know this, but Jesus is the star of Christmas. And when I say star, like he's literally like, he's everything it's about, but also he's the bright shining light of Christmas. In Paul's story, we've been focusing on him and what God did in him and through him and how Jesus spoke to him. But really, Jesus is also the star of that story. And the same thing, this bright shining light that comes through and this encounter that takes place that causes darkness to flee and brings new hope and new purpose and new peace. And that's Paul's story. And I believe subsequently that is our story. Or Jesus is the star of our story. Now, thinking about Saul's story, you know, he's the only person who's ever experienced a Jesus in the way that he experienced Jesus, right? Experiencing being a blinding light showing up so bright that it knocks you down and causes blindness. No other account in Scripture do we have this. I've never heard of anyone ever experiencing this. This was a pretty dramatic, and I'm guessing traumatic experience for Paul, but at the same time, it was the most transformative moment of his life. And I look at this situation, and I look at how Jesus encountered Paul in this moment, and I look at it and I say, I fully believe that Jesus really needed to get Paul's attention, right? So much so that he showed up in this bright light, knocked him off his horse, and then he blinded him. And the reason that he did these things is because Paul was living in darkness, and he was blinded to the truth. And so Jesus showed up to break through that darkness and through the blinders of sin that Paul had on. Now, I like to picture Paul, as I just think about Paul's life, and I think about like what he was trying to do and what he was trying to accomplish and how he was trying to impress his friends. I picture Paul kind of rocking some sunglasses, right? I'm going to put this image up on the screen. He's kind of that thug life Paul, you know what I'm saying? And he's out there and he's like, I'm doing some good stuff. And, you know, he's wearing these sunglasses, and he thinks he's so cool, and he's saying, everybody look at me, and look at how smart I am, and look at the things that I'm doing for God. And all his colleagues and the religious leaders of his time are like, yes, look at what Paul is doing. Let's send him out to do this more. And meanwhile, because he was so focused on looking good and bringing glory to himself, he missed out on seeing the Messiah and began to persecute him, literally living the thug life. Right? Persecuting, beating, and imprisoning Christians. He was living in darkness. And he was carrying out some pretty dark deeds. But he thought he was living in the light. He thought he was doing the right thing. And that's what sin does in our lives. Sin, it blinds us to the truth. The truth of who Jesus is, the truth of how he wants us to live, the life that he has for us. And for Paul, his sin of pride blinded him to the truth of Jesus. He was busy impressing others, trying to bring himself glory. And he missed Jesus. Not only did he miss Jesus, but he began to persecute Jesus' followers, and in essence, persecuting Jesus. He was, and I've said this throughout our series, I believe that Paul was blind long before Jesus blinded him. He was spiritually blind. He could not see the truth. Later on in his life, Paul goes to write this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, but if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And I believe Paul preaches this and shares this so powerfully because this is what Paul experienced in his life. This was how he was living. His sin was blinding him so much to the truth of Jesus, that he is the Messiah, that he is God. But then he has this encounter with Jesus. You know, 2 Corinthians, it talks about how sin veils the truth, or it shrouds the truth, or it hides the truth. It blurs the truth for us. So those who don't see it, they don't have that truth. It says they will perish because sin leads to death. Without Jesus and what he did on the cross for us, there is death that awaits us. And so in Paul's life, he needed to get knocked down. And Jesus literally knocked him down. He needed to have his blinders, the blinders of sin that were keeping him from seeing the truth, removed, so that he could finally see the truth and go on to share that truth. You're probably like, why is he still wearing those glasses, right? You're like, how long is this going to happen? You know, I was thinking about just this glasses and how they can represent sin in our lives. Where without them, we can see the light, we can see clearly, things aren't blurred. But as sin enters in, and maybe for us it's the sin of deception and lying. And sin can show up in many different ways. And so we enter into this realm of where now our lies and our deception are blinding us to the truth and blinding others to the truth. But it's not just that there's one sin, because there are many sins. And so we have this sin, and then maybe we end up falling into gossip and backstabbing and and man, just speaking negative words about others. And so now we have more sin on top of other sin, and it's blinding us even more to the truth. And then maybe we think about we enter into the sin of having lustful thoughts, living in lustful actions, and we add one more layer. And I'm sure you can imagine by now, I can see nothing, and you can begin to see how sin in our lives, it covers up and it masks the truth. All we can see and all we focus on is our sin, and we believe that to be true. We believe that to be good in our lives, but it is no good for us or those around us. But that's not all. We continue to add sin on top of sin on top of sin, and maybe the sin of anger, angry outbursts, whether verbal or physical, it comes in, and we just, at this point, it's ridiculous, right? Yeah. But I can see nothing. And sin comes in, and that's what it does. But so sin, while sin can add up and sin can just stack, and we get lost in it, we get blind to it. And this is where those feelings of hopelessness and despair and shame and regret, because it's all we're seeing, it's all we're living, it's all we're feeling. The truth cannot penetrate, or we won't allow it to, or we won't hear it. That happens. But I think in some cases, maybe it's not that there are multiple sins that are piling on top of each other. There's one sin. One sin we put on long ago. I was thinking about this in Paul's life, and I was thinking about his pride and what he thought, and you know, just trying to bring himself glory. And these are modified glasses. And so with these ones, they're fully blacked out. And I think there comes a time in our life when we live in sin for so long that it becomes our truth. So much so that we will not hear anyone else's truth. We are blind to everyone around us. We are blind to the truth of the gospel. We are blind to the peace and the joy and the hope. And all we are living in and all we are seeing is our own truth. And we believe that so much that we're willing to hurt others for it. We're willing to condemn and judge others for it. I can see this way. I can see a little bit down. I'm going to keep attempting to do this, but this is how Paul was living in his life. It was dark, but to him, it was truth. He was living the wrong way. You know, I get to thinking about this moment, and I get to thinking about why Jesus encountered Paul the way that he encountered him. Why the bright light? Why was it so bright? And it was because of the darkness that Paul was living in. He refused to hear truth from others, from Stephen, who was a man of God. He was persecuting and hurting those who were following the way of Jesus. And Jesus saw the darkness, but through the darkness, he saw a man who could bring light to the multitudes. And so he shows up and he shows this light to him, this blinding light. Have you ever stopped to just imagine or think about how bright that must have been? Like it's hard to comprehend. Like in the scripture, in Acts, through all the stories where Paul shares about his testimony, it talks about how it was the middle of the day and this light, it shined brighter than the sun. Now just imagine that hitting you in the face. As a matter of fact, here's what we're gonna do. I wanna, if you can't visualize this, I wanna help you see what it might have been like. See, it ain't bothering me. Yeah, you can look away. It's bright. It's really bright. That's what I'm saying. And you think, you're right now, you're like, you're having some emotions, right? Like, why is the pastor doing this? Think about what Paul experienced when this took place. Now, here's the reality. I think in order to get to the light that Jesus portrayed in that moment, we'd need like 30 or 40 more of these, each of them. You can turn it off. These people are starting to get a little bit, you know, angry. This light was so bright, and it penetrated, right? It penetrated the darkness. It knocked Paul down and helped him hear and see and live out the truth. It's a powerful thing. And this is the light that, man, this is the light of Jesus. And that light can break through any darkness, and that light can break through any sin. We just got to be willing to remove that sin. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians in 4:6, and he says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ." You know, it's more than just affecting our eyes. That this light of Jesus, it's not just a physical effect, it's a spiritual effect. His light seeps down into our hearts and our mind, breaking through the grip and hold of sin on our lives. The light of Jesus has the power to permeate and penetrate the darkness. In the blinders of sin, casting his light into the depths of our heart and mind. The light of Jesus, it breaks the power of sin and darkness in our lives and opens our eyes to light and love and truth that we can then live out. And that's what he called Paul to. And after Paul sees this blinding light that you got to experience just a little glimpse of, after he sees that, this is what Jesus says to him in Acts 26. Jesus says, "Get up now. Stand upright on your feet. I've appeared to you for a reason. I'm appointing you to serve me. You are to tell my story and how you have seen me, and you are to continue to tell the story in the future. It will be your mission to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. This is so that they may receive forgiveness of all their sins and have a place among those who are set apart for a holy purpose through having faith in me." He shows up and says, "The way you're living is the wrong way. You're living in darkness. Let me show you how to live in the light. Let me show you how to carry this light and share this light with others." The light of Jesus, it shows up in our lives to blind us from our own sinful selfishness, in order that we would see his love, that we would see his purpose, that we would see his goodness and hope in our lives, but not just in our lives. It's also that we could take that light and share that light and help others experience it too. Where there is no Jesus, there is no light. And where there is no light and no Jesus, we end up attempting to wayfind in the dark. And really, I wouldn't even call it wayfinding. If we're attempting to wayfind with the blinders of sin on and in the darkness, it's more like wayfailing. Or way fumbling, or even way falling, which is what Paul experienced. And I'm sure many of us have experienced at one point in our lives where we attempted to live out what we thought was right, what we thought was true, or we were living in sin and we were blinded to it, and it led to failure and led to our fall. Wayfinding in the dark, right, with these blinders on. It has such an effect on us. We've been talking about it throughout our series, but it can cause us to be stuck in the past, stuck in pain or stuck in regret. Maybe we're just stuck in a lack of purpose. When sin and the blinders of sin are present in our lives, it leads to communication issues. Maybe we're being deceitful or lying about things. Maybe there's miscommunication. Maybe there's no communication. Maybe hurtful words are spoken because we're trying to hide or cover up the thing that we're living in. Or maybe there's a fear that keeps us from saying what needs to be said. When we live with the blinders on, it often leads us to judgment and condemnation of others and how they're living. We don't see our own issues and our own problems, but we're really quick to point it out in others. So we're blinded by the truth, and we're blinded by who Jesus calls us to be. And at the end of the day, and I think we know this, the longer we live in sin and with our blinders on, the more we're at danger of losing the relationships that God has brought into our life. Sin does bring death. Yes, spiritual death, but it brings death to the things that God has purposed in our lives to bring us joy And so maybe it's loss of relationship, of a friendship, of purpose, a loss of respect. This is what sin does. When we try to wayfind in the dark, it leads to us not finding our way, but losing our way. And if we want to find our way back, we need the light of Jesus to show us the way back. In my opening scripture narrative of the light breaking through the darkness, I ended that with John 3:16, a verse I'm sure we've all heard and we all know. But I love what it says. I want to read the whole thing to you. It says this: "For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe in him is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God." Verse 19, "This then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God." Jesus came so that we might have light in life and leave hurt and pain and despair and shame of living in darkness. We'll leave all that behind, to leave the and take off the blinders of sin in our lives and toss them to the side. Jesus is the light. And when we encounter that light, we have a choice to make. Because he'll show up in different ways and at different times, but ultimately we have a choice to make when we encounter it. Do we see our sin and recognize our sin as we're convicted of it, and do we confess it and repent from it and remove it from our lives? And we, like, you know, if we have the sin on and Jesus shows up and he says, "Listen, that thing that you were living in was keeping you from the truth," and he shows you the truth, you say, you can put them back on, or you can be done with them. And you can leave that sin behind. Confess it, walk away from it, and begin to wayfind in the light, and to find hope, and to find purpose, and to find peace, and to find joy, and not just in your life, but in the lives of others around you. In John 12:46, Jesus says, "I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness." That's why he came, a light to the world. And it's one thing to encounter the light. It's one thing to have an experience with the light. But unless we remove our blinders of sin, man, we'll just continue living in the darkness. 1 John 1:5-7 says, "God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we are lying. We are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." That's what the light came to do. It came to expose our sin, offer forgiveness for our sin, and show us how we can move forward and live in the light and life of Jesus. We got to choose. There's no darkness in him. And if we're saying we are his, then we got to make sure there's no darkness in us. We got to walk away from it. We got to drop it. We got to be, just observant to it. And we got to see when it's showing up in our lives again and remove it time and time again by walking in the light and living for Jesus. And I think it's so important, not that we just do this in our own lives, but we do this and we show this light to others so that they can have and see and experience the hope that we have found. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. I wonder, what blinders of sin are you wearing? What dark place do you find yourself living in? Today, the light of Jesus is here to break through the power of sin and darkness in your life. His light has revealed the truth. God's word and God's spirit, it brings conviction to the sin in our lives. And Jesus came to break that power. And so here's what I'll say to you today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you came in today, and like Paul, you've been wearing blinders for far too long, living one way, living in darkness, believing it to be truth. But in the midst of that, you felt hopeless. You felt fear. You felt regret. You felt shame. And you still feel that today. But you walked in today and you heard about Jesus. And you heard about what he came to do for you and in your life. That he came to remove those blinders of sin that you've been wearing. If today you would say, hey, this is my first encounter. The truth has been revealed. My blinders have been made known to me. I'm ready to remove them and take them off and walk forward in the light. That's what I want you to do, right where you're at, every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you today and you're ready to step into the light, and into a life with Jesus, to wayfind with him and leave darkness behind, right in front of you on the seat back, there will be a pair of glasses. Right now, if that's you, if it's something that you want to do, I want you to just reach out, just grab those glasses and just hold on to them. And I'll address you in a minute. So I think there are some today who are going to have their first encounter with Jesus, and they're going to have the blinders and the darkness removed from their life for the very first time, and that's amazing. But I think for others, we've had the encounter before, but through different circumstances of our life, through things that have come up, we've found that we have put the blinders back on. And so I want to speak to you today. I want to remind you today of the truth, of the light, of the love of Jesus, of the forgiveness for your sin. Maybe today Jesus revealed something to you. The Spirit convicted you of a sin that you're living in that is blinding you to the truth. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's at your job. Maybe it's in a conversation you need to have. I don't know what it is. But if today you would say, I put the blinders back on, but I don't want to wear them anymore. I don't like who I've become. When I have them on, I like who I am in Jesus. I don't want to live that out again. I would encourage you right now to do the same thing. Reach out the chair in front of you and grab a pair of those glasses. Here's what I want to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that was you today, whether it's your first encounter or you were saying today that I've had an encounter, but I put the blinders back on, I want to remove them today. If you reached out and grabbed a pair of those glasses, I want to ask you to boldly stand where you're at. Come up front. I want to pray with you. But what I want you to do is I want you to go through the act of taking those blinders of that sin, whatever it represents, and you can just drop it right here at the feet of Jesus, because it's already been paid for. It's already done. There is forgiveness for it. There is no shame when we step into the light, because he cleanses us. If that's you, grab those glasses now. Come forward. Drop them right here at the stage. Let me pray for you. God, continue to move and to stir. May your light break through our darkness. May your light reveal the truth to us, and may we respond. May we let go. Thank you for moving. Thank you for convicting. Thank you for sending your Son to reveal the sin in our lives. God, right now I pray for everyone who's up here. I thank you for removing the burden and weight of the sin that we've been living in. I thank you for the forgiveness that you've given us for the hurt that we've caused. God, from this day forward, whether they entered into the light for the first time or they are just saying, I don't want to live in this sin anymore, would you continue to empower them and encourage them to walk out from this place living in the light of your truth, in your love, in your joy, in your peace? Because when you came into this world, that's what you brought. Love and joy and peace into our lives. You are a light that shines through the darkness and breaks through the darkness. You are the light of men. God, we thank you for your Son. And we celebrate him today. We celebrate his life. Not just that he was born, but the perfect life he lived. And that he laid down his life for us so that we could have everlasting life with you. Thank you for your truth today. Thank you for your conviction today. Thank you for breaking the grip of sin and darkness on the lives of those today that came forward. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Can we give it up for what God did today?